Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Brian Lenny, founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review website, also writes a premium newsletter for his subscribers. Now, Brian, look, this week started off pretty interesting as everything corrected and there was a lot of bearish comments in any sector, really, that you were looking at. But then Tuesday came around, markets bounced back, metals kind of stabilized, everything for the most part, well, bounced back a little bit and is kind of just moving sideways now. The tail end of this week looking like it might be getting a little bit boring again. One thing that I want to ask you, though, deals with how you're managing your portfolio and what you're sharing with your subscribers in terms of maybe taking advantage of some of these lower prices that are really across the board for metal stocks. Brian, have you been out there bottom fishing, putting in some stink beds, or are you still kind of waiting on the sidelines to see just when or where this market turns?
Thanks for having me, Corey. I'm buying. I buy all of the corrections in the stocks as long as it's not directly related to news from the company, you know, meaning that the investment thesis is maybe broken. The corrections in any stock market, I think, are times to buy, you know, if things are still looking good from an investment perspective. So I've been telling investors to take advantage of the down dip, but to be cognizant of the fact that might have more downside in the future. So buy in tranches and select the companies that fit your investment profile, meaning, there's a big difference between the exploration companies, the developers, and the producers. On the exploration side, you know, these guys, their share price will go down. There isn't really any intrinsic value in the company, but they also have the upside potential that if they discover something significant, that you can have share price appreciation regardless of where the metal price or the market sentiment is. And that can be, motivation to buy those shares. On the other side, the developers, don't necessarily have maybe the discovery potential, but they have the intrinsic value that's backing their stock and protecting your downside risk. And therefore, when you can buy those companies on sale, I think it's a great opportunity. And there's a few companies that we've discussed over the last few months that have come right back in share price. And I didn't think, considering the news flow they've had over the last couple months, which has been positive, that I'd get another chance to buy them almost where I recommended them. So they've been the ones that I've been adding to, and I've been, talking to my subscribers about it.
Yeah, Brian, it's an interesting time for sure, and especially in how hard some of the junior miners have sold off relative to the price of the metals, not really doing as much. So I'm in the same boat. I've done a little purchasing myself, but I'd love to get your thoughts a little bit further on the two categories you just covered, the explorers and the developers. On the explorers, are you interested in getting in? I mean, obviously, you want to see a cashed-up company that's drilling, but do you like to get in after a company has already made a discovery and is doing a second or third round of drilling, or do you like to get in front of, maybe the maiden greenfields exploration program, hoping that they hit? What is your strategy around the explorers first?
Oh, that's an excellent question. And I think that's something that every investor needs to contemplate. For me, I don't have a direct answer. It always depends. If I'm late to the story, let's say that, that a company is just starting a drill program, the share price has basically run maybe since they did their last financing. And, they got drill holes coming in the next, let's say, 4 to 6 weeks. I'll probably sit on the sidelines and wait to see, what the results are and then make a decision from there. But if I can get in really early into an exploration story, there is more risk, but I think it's from a different perspective. I like investing in, the very grassroots stuff if I'm in early. So I'm in, whether it's IPO or, just after the IPO, maybe the first financing after they've done some geophysics and geochemical work, and I can get an idea of what the potential might be. I like those opportunities. I like to get in early. But like I said, if the timing isn't right and I'm not positioned well, there's way too much risk, then I'll wait and see how the drill program goes. And there's numerous examples of that. I take a lot of meetings and I talk to a lot of different companies, and I would say more often than not, I'm in the wrong position from a timing perspective. But when I do have the opportunity to get in early, I take the chance, especially if it's with people that I know.
Okay. And then just moving over to the developers real quick, I think they're a very interesting space right now in that they hadn't really run as much as, let's say, the senior producers had, or some of the drill plays that were really hot and had a good story stock going. So some of the developers have underpinning assets. Some of these companies have half a million, a million, 2 or 3 million ounces of gold in the ground that's underpinning their valuation. They've done economic studies that are trading, as we've talked about before, just at a fraction of what they would normally be. But some of them recently have also now had a correction on top of the fact that they didn't run. So are you looking at any developers that you mentioned that you think, wow, these things have actually pulled back to some pretty good value here, and you still see a lot of exploration upside or the potential for growth in the company?
Oh, well, one that we talked about, I think Montage has a great investment thesis. And I think there's multiple facets to it. First and foremost, they're going to have a feasibility level completed on their project by the end of the year. They're going to have cash in excess after that of around $10 million. And they sit in a really good spot, kind of regardless of where sentiment or the market is. And to me, that's really good downside protection, meaning that the market could re-rate that stock. Let's say everything stayed the same, gold stays at $1,800, and there's no other news. And I think there's the potential for the market to re-rate Montage just based off further confidence in the project with the completion of the feasibility study. But if you mix in the fact that they've got good exploration upside on their Petit Yao target and, you know, different regional targets around the property, and the fact that the gold price, you know, and I think it will, I think we're going to see higher gold prices before the end of the year. The valuation could increase just on the back of a strong gold price or a market turn. And so, you know, the fact that Montage has come way back, you know, they were hit a high of, I don't know if they hit a buck, but it was around that. And they've come right back, and I think the low they hit it was 73 cents. And it was a recommendation to my readers at 69 cents. And I, especially after the release of a pretty good PEA, I didn't think that we would see the retracement. But, you know, that's the way the market works. And I've taken full advantage of that. And I was a buyer at 75 cents. So I think it's tremendous value. But plus, you know, if everything stays equal, if there's no exploration success just on the back of the project of them executing and completing the feasibility study and the fact that they'll have $10 million in cash after all that's completed, I think there's good reason to believe that we'll see a re-rate just based on that. And so I like the downside protection with that, especially.
Yeah, in all fairness, the market has sold off all of these stocks, right? So everything has come down. Some have come down 20 to 30%. Some stocks have pulled back over 50% from some of their recent highs. Brian, one thing you keep touching on there with Montage is the fact that they have $10 million in the bank. And in all fairness, a lot of companies broadly are cashed up in this sector. However, we do need to realize that we have just gone through, which might be ending. We still might be in the tail end of it, though. One of the best financing periods in history for these metal stocks, all the whole way down to the juniors. But now that a lot of this money has been raised and the money is getting spent, what kind of runway do you like to see in terms of cash in the bank for companies to complete their work? Is it simply just saying enough work for this year's program? Or are you looking further out in case we don't have that whole financing window that stays open, that companies need to be cashed up through, let's say, 2022?
You know, again, it's another question that where I have to lead with, it depends. You know, for an exploration company, that, you know, the odds are against them being successful, I think that if you can have, you know, two drill seasons worth of cash, I think that's a really good position to be in case you're wrong the first time that you go. But then again, as an exploration company, it really depends where you are on that curve. Like, are you completely grassroots and this is your maiden program? Or have you made the discovery and, you know, this is your second or third drill program and you're looking to expand along strike or at depth? You know, contemplating how all that stuff fits in and what the likelihood of success is, I think could give investors more comfort into how much money's there and, you know, how much cushion you have moving forward. The other side to it is, I think, you know, one of the things that I look for in companies is their ability to raise cash. And, you know, I can't think of any company in particular in the premium portfolio that has had raising cash almost regardless of where the market is. And I think that's a really good position to be in. You know, if you stick with the best of the best, typically those guys, it may not always be on the best terms, meaning if the sentiment is low, the share price might be low and they'll have to raise. But you know, the bottom line is that, you know, they're raising the money, and that's to execute on an action plan. That's what you want to see. For the developers, again, it depends on what their action plan is. Like if they're just doing economic studies that has a pretty set, you know, budget, and they can slow that down or speed it up if they need to. I'm pretty comfortable with them, you know, having, you know, projected out a year's worth of cash from this point on, because there is flexibility in there, and it, you know, the chance for failure per se isn't as high as it is with exploration companies. So for me, it always depends. The more cash the company has, to a certain degree, I think the better position you're in when there's uncertain markets like we're in. But I think every investor needs to look at each situation differently and understand, you know, how that money could be drawn down quicker, or what bad results could result in, you know, the inability to raise more money, or you know, the share price to completely fall off the board. So yeah, there, it's a complex question and a complex answer.
So then, Brian, what else have you been buying out there? What can you share with us in terms of stocks that you like, either for that re-rate potential or simply for the work that you're doing that you think just isn't getting appreciated?
Sure. The stock, it's now the largest in my portfolio, is Irving Resources. Irving is exploring for gold in Japan. The investment thesis is actually quite straightforward. They are exploring for gold. But what gets overlooked, I think, is the fact that they don't actually need to hit you know, extraordinary levels of gold to make underground mining in Japan work. The baseline thesis is that they want to sell the quartz rock, the silica, to Sumitomo as flux in their processing facilities. And this is the backbone of the investment thesis. And so I really like the fact that, you know, although that I think there's a ton of potential in Japan for high grade gold, anybody that knows or has heard of Hishikari and the 60 grams per ton that they've been mining over the last, you know, X amount of years, there's definitely a chance for high grade gold there. And that's why you saw the largest gold company in the world, Newmont, invest $7.5 million at $2.11 a few months ago. You know, the potential for high grade and, you know, a lot of ounces is there. Japan's got all the hallmarks of a premier gold exploration district. But on the other side is, you know, really to make a business or make a mining operation work, they need to find that quartz. And, you know, Sumitomo is already a big part of the Irving business. And therefore, you know, I think that the downside potential is much less than people may give Irving credit for. You know, right now the Olympics have taken a lot of the attention of the Japanese government, and probably rightfully so. So things have slowed down, and, you know, there's problems with Canadian drillers getting visas to come back and work in the country and getting equipment in and such. And so the lack of news flow has really dropped the share price again to a level that I'm pretty surprised, like, we haven't seen since last March. And I don't even know if it got down to below $1.50 last March, but, you know, that's where we sit today. And so I think there's tremendous opportunity in Irving, and that's why I've added probably around 30% to my position, sub $1.60. And then next to Irving, I think Abra Silver has a lot of interesting things. I bought last Friday. Abra Silver is a company, you know, that we covered very early on in the story with on your show. And Abra Silver has come right back from its high around 70 cents to, I think it's maybe 44 cents or 42 cents. It's hit on its low this week. And I was a buyer. And they've got news flow. They've got they're going to have their updated resource coming in the next few weeks. And then that leads into an updated PEA. And considering the following of Abra Silver, the silver bug's hunger and forward-looking attitude, I think some really good things could be in store for the Abra Silver share price. And I think they're going to have a strong end to the year, kind of regardless of where the sentiment is, to a certain degree. If the silver price falls to $20, then we might be in trouble, but that'll be across the board. So those are a couple other companies that I've been buying.
All right. Hey, Brian, very interesting. Good to hear that you're out there taking that contrary standpoint, right? Taking advantage of these lower prices and at least focusing on the companies that have some of that fundamental value and also have some work ongoing that sounds pretty interesting, too. Hey, Brian, appreciate your insights there. We will chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week and a great weekend, Brian. Thanks again for your time.
Thanks for having me, Corey.